This week, my normal plan is that I almost always, on Monday, I get what I'm going to preach on. I've got my portion of scripture, at least, that I can start to think about. And if you've ever had a week where the norm just doesn't happen, Monday, it just didn't happen this week, right? Tuesday, I was like, Lord Jesus, what should I preach on? I knew we were going to talk about missions to some degree. I knew we were going to do some of these things, but I wasn't sure how we were going to do it. Wednesday, I normally send on Wednesday what I'm going to be doing to one of our awesome ladies that does some research. It's really cool. I was like, I just don't have anything to send. Thursday, I'm like, Lord Jesus, please. Friday morning happens, and I woke up really early, and when I woke up, I was like, I don't think sleep is going to happen the rest of the time. So I came, I prayed in here, then I actually sat in the driveway of the office and was listening to the daily Bible reading. And in Mark chapter 14, this is getting to be a real moment in the life of Jesus. As they are having Passover, as they are in the institution of the Lord's Supper takes place, as Jesus has to tell Peter that he's going to deny him, which Peter's like, come on now, I'm Peter. I don't do that. I'm not going to deny you. There's no way. Jesus, the emotional charge, the emotional energy of knowing that he is moments away from going to the cross, I just cannot imagine. Thankfully, no matter what we're dealing with, I don't think we're quite at that level, I hope. If so, calm down, breathe. We're going to make it through. God's on the throne. But I got to these specific words where Jesus says, it is enough. The hour has come. And that just burned in my heart from about 6:15 on Friday morning until now. I just can't get those words out of my mind. It is enough. And I want to talk about some things that lead us to a moment where we say it's enough. The hour has come. And what Jesus had to deal with, what he had to go through, what his last hours looked like before he went to the cross and made it worthwhile for us to come and to worship. Because if he didn't go to the cross, if he didn't fulfill his mission, then we're just kind of messing around. If he didn't come back from life after going to that cross. But he did, and thus today is a special day. Every day is a special day because we can worship our Creator and our Lord. Mark 14, 32 through 42 is what we're going to be looking at today. And it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Jesus, in these verses, you can begin by feeling the distress, the weight that was upon him. Distressed and troubled to the point of death. The Lord, the God of the universe, found himself in a place where he needed. I believe it would have been really helpful if his disciples could have stayed with him. It would have been great if he could have, but he had to go and do something that only he could do. Gethsemane was a place just east of the Temple Mount area in Jerusalem, surrounded by ancient olive trees. Here, olives from the neighborhood were crushed for their oil. And here, Jesus was being crushed. As he pleaded with the Lord, take this cup from me, take this away from me, but not my will, what you want. When I think about it, I don't believe the hour of trouble and distress because of the physical toll or torture that was about to happen. I think for many of us, if you say you're going to get tortured, that would be a big deal for all of us, right? I don't think anybody would want that. But I believe that Jesus had the weight and the heaviness of what he was about to do in taking your and my and every human that ever walked in the face of the earth, that ever will, that ever did, that weight of that sin upon himself. The horror of the cross, but because the cross, as he took the sin of you and me. Hebrews 5, 7, and 8 describes this agony. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication and loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus asked, no, take this from me. The weight of this, the weight, the struggle. But God did not offer a way of escape because Jesus was the only way. There is no other way to heaven. There's no other way to salvation. There is no other way to healing and hope and wholeness in our life. There's no other way to heaven and to what Jesus has for us. To the future, new heaven and new earth. There's no other way besides Jesus and what he did on the cross and in coming and rising once again from that grave to life, defeating death, hell, and the grave. His distress was not of death, but of the reality of divine anger against sin and his step toward taking that sin upon himself. And today, when I think of what God is and what he's done, that is what he's done. He took our pain. He took our sin. He took our problems, our issues, to the point of death, and then was nailed to that cross. But on this night, he could feel it. He could know it. But it took him doing something that was vital, that was absolutely important, which was surrendering. And I believe that just as distress brings you to an enough moment, enough, surrender brings you there as well. When I think of our home, thankfully Rachel is more spiritual than me. Okay, maybe we're together, but we have 5 kids. And if you have had children, probably if you've had a boss or an employee or anything else, if you had a friend in your life, there's probably been moments where you got to that spot of enough. Now, Chandler, our youngest, is the most amazing young guy. I absolutely love him to death. He is going to someday be really successful. I don't know what, but it's going to be something powerful. He's a smart kid, but I will tell you what, when Chandler wants to speak, when he wants to get his message across, he will not stop. Mom, 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 mom. He will say it 1,000 times. I think if we wouldn't stop him, he'd probably say it 1,000,000 times in a row. I just believe with all my heart. He literally would not stop. And finally, it's like, what? Enough. Enough. And I believe that we get to moments where we have to realize that it's simply time to take the distress of ourselves and say, Lord, I don't want it. I don't like it. This situation, we're all there. We don't like it. Uncertainty, we just don't like it. Take it off of ourselves and surrender to Jesus. Surrender that to Jesus. And that gets us to a moment of enough. I will do what you've called me to do. Jesus, saying Abba, Father, in his moment of distress, did not run from God or get farther away from God, but instead went right into his Father, to him. Abba, Dad, Daddy, please take this from me. He surrendered, and not the please take it, the crushing, this cup that he had to bear. But then he said, but not my will, not what I want, but what you will. And there's a surrender in our life where we must simply do that, where we have to come before the Lord and say, I don't like the situation. I don't like where I'm at. Maybe you have been walking through something for years. Maybe you are struggling with mental health, or maybe you're struggling with a disease, or you're struggling with something, or maybe just today, if you're honest, you're scared to death of what this is, what this looks like, this virus. And there's a moment when I believe God calls us, and he says, if just like Jesus, if you'll come and you'll surrender and you'll lay it down at my feet, then I'm your answer. Not every time does God answer like we want God to answer, because Jesus went to the cross. But every time, God is there. He is with us. He walks through the situation. And in this moment, I believe that God would call to you, surrender. The words that were given this morning, look to me. Repent of your sin. Give me control. Surrender to me, and I will take care of you. I will walk with you. I will heal you. I'll be what you need me to be in the moment, in this moment. The prayer of surrender is a prayer of great faith. Jesus saying, not my will, but yours. And sometimes it can feel like in our life, in our world, that we want to say, no, I'm not going to give God the out of not my will, but yours. But Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours. And there's times when we just have to plug into what God is doing and let God be God. And then we have the opportunity to reach out and make a difference in our world. But in this story, it doesn't go straight from surrender to the moment of triumph. Repeatedly, we see the disappointment that comes through his disciples falling asleep. Repeatedly, we see that disappointment helped lead him to that enough moment. Three times, in fact, he came and found them sleeping. Three times, he encouraged them. Please, and I believe Jesus probably would have loved extra prayer, but Jesus knew that his disciples had no chance of accomplishing and staying true to who he was and not denying him unless they would pray, unless they would be plugged in with what he was doing, unless they would listen to him, unless they would be in intercession with him. Even to the point, which had to have been starting, where Peter is called Simon, his old name, not his new name, not the rock, but his old name, where Peter is called Simon. And I can just imagine that moment where Simon had to think, Peter now, he had to think, oh boy, we've messed up. I've messed up. I need to pray. I need to do it. But not let alone again, he would be denied by their sleep. And in this moment, there's disappointment. There's people all around you who are disappointed. They're fearful, they're scared, they're concerned. Maybe you are in that place of disappointment. This is difficult. But it's time, just like Jesus, to carry on and to carry those around us across the finish line, if that's what we have to do. Because Jesus would go to the cross all by himself. John was there with his mom. That was pretty cool. But everybody else, you know, they're all fleeing. They're all running away. And it's time for the church, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of concern and of worry, to be the church that we have been called to be. It's time for the church to pray like we've never, ever prayed before. It's time for the church to not fall into temptation, to not fall into discouragement or worry. It's time for the church instead to be victorious in who God has called us to be. Victory comes through successfully navigating disappointing moments through prayer and then action. It is vital for the church to be what we are called to be, for us to stay true to the word of God, to not let disappointment crush us, but instead to let it drive us to pray. Let us drive us to reach out. Let us drive us to be maybe something we've never been before with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that this distress, the surrender, the disappointment, it led Jesus to a moment of strength. It led Jesus to a moment when he knew what was coming. He knew what was about to happen. He found them sleeping one more time. And he could say, it is enough. The hour has come. It is time to do what I've been called to do. And if you or I, If we're in a place like this, I would like to think I would have been like Jesus. If I knew they were coming for me, if I knew Judas, he had the whole group, they were going to come. If I knew I was going to die, it seems like it would have been an easier choice to say, hey, guys, it's time. The hour is here. We got to go because they're coming. We need to hide. But Jesus did not do that. Instead, he plowed directly ahead into what God has called him to do. And that's what we as the church must do. We must rise in strength in this moment, and I would say in all moments, to see our world come to know Jesus. Strength comes through prayer that leads to an enough moment that changes your world. The fact Jesus rose up with strength. He went to the cross. He bore our sin and our sickness and our disease. He took it upon himself. And he died for you and I so that he could rise one more time. He could rise from that dead. He could rise from that grave so we could have wholeness, so we could come to him, so we could ask for repentance, so we could ask him to be Lord of our life. We could ask to have sin removed from us. And now that we can be his hands and feet to our world. And that is the place that we are in, is we, you and I, in the room, on Facebook Live, people all over the United States and the world, in their homes today. They may at other times be in a church building. Whatever it looks like, today we are called to rise in strength and to be the church that God intends us to be. In this moment, we are looking for opportunities. We're looking for the way that we can and the ways that we can reach out. And over again, I believe God's going to give some specific things that we're going to be able to do, partnering with people. But I believe the biggest thing that we can do is every one of us adopting your block at your home, adopting your apartment building or complex, and saying, hey, knocking on a door, taking a step back, no fear, but is there anything that you need? Could I pray with you? Do you need something from the store? Are there things we can do to encourage and to help those closest to us? There's people right now who maybe they're older and they should not in this environment be out. So what can we do? We can ask them. We can come alongside them. I encourage you, if you're watching on Facebook Live or next week watching on Facebook Live, please let us know what you need. You have a church family. And all of our friends, people we want to reach out to, that we want to reach into your life. Because no one is alone. We are here for you. God first is for you, and we are here right behind him. We're supporting. We're there. We want to walk in strength. Because we're not going to walk in defeat. We're not going to be disappointed or dismayed. But we're going to say, God, you do what you do. And Lord, we're going to do everything we can to jump on board. So I encourage Radiant Life Church, the global church, and all people that would hear this message, could we rise up and can we encourage the people around us? But I encourage you not only to say, I'm going to help you and I'm going to give you some food, or not only to say, I'm going to share some of my stockpiled toilet paper that I have, or whatever your thing is, one of your 800 cans of corn that you now have in your home, or whatever your thing is. But could we be vocal about what Jesus is doing in our life? Could we show the world joy and peace and happiness in the midst of uncertainty? Because we don't need certainty to know that God still is on the throne. He's still got us. So as we go, as we make a difference, as there's opportunities, and there could be opportunities for some of our international friendship students from Ohio State that might need places to stay. And I've told them, if so, let us know. So some of you, you might need to prepare a room because there might need to be somebody that stays with you for a few weeks. We might have so many different things, but Lord, don't let us only do things, but let us share the peace that we have. Let us share the one that took our problems, that said enough, but didn't run away from anything, but instead ran right to the most painful thing that Jesus would ever experience. Let's do it. Let's run at it. Let's be wise. I'm not asking people to get the coronavirus just for fun. No, of course not. But how today can we reach people, love people, take care of people, and be sure that they know that God, that Jesus himself is there for them, that we're his hands, we're his feet. Let's drive directly into the darkness, into fear, and say, God is with us. He's got us. He's got us. There is no doubt. There's no concern. There's no worry. I can tell you that as a pastor, I am not worried. I'm excited for a crazy opportunity that we wish we didn't have, right? Of course. But I'm excited. Let's take advantage of every moment, of every opportunity. And some in the place, you might say, well, I've sinned. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. Guess what? Take advantage of that sin. Take advantage of what you did back there to help somebody here today. Take advantage of your life experience to help somebody that might be going through the exact same thing. If you understand those that maybe with that struggle with depression or that struggle with anxiety, this would be a great time to make phone calls, to call them, to get on to some of those. This week, first time, you can have more than one person on your phone at once, two different phones or however many. Like, make it happen. Get some groups together and share life with one another, because we have a unique opportunity to say, Lord, we're going to share you. We're going to proclaim you. We're going to stand on your truth. We're going to be uplifted and encouraged in the things of God. We are simply engaged, God, with what you want to do. And Lord, we pray that this is a two Sunday off sort of thing and we get back to it. If it's more, guess what? The church is still the church, and we're going to love people and see people. I believe more people come to know Jesus in the next several weeks than maybe we've seen in a long, long time. Let's take advantage of the moment, because God, his power, he's here for you and for me. And today, as we close out, our plan was that we were going to take an offering for missions, our missions trip and for a school, and we will do that, don't worry, in the future. But we're going to close. We've made sure to leave extra time, and we're going to worship. And how I would look at it this morning, would you this morning minister to the Lord your worship? Would you lift praise to God? Would you pour your praise out upon him? And I believe in this moment that he will then pour out something you can't expect or understand, or maybe you've not felt in a long time. He'll do that in your life. In this time of enough, it's time to pour out our love on our God and let him speak. And this morning, would you listen at home on your couch? Stand all in this room. Would you just stand with me? Let's listen for the voice of God. Let's let him speak as we worship. Let's let him speak as we pray. And this morning, be encouraged. If you're fearful, we're going to pray that fear would be gone, that it would be gone, that we would walk in peace and hope, and that today we get to do what God has called us to do. And we're going to have an enough moment, but not of discouragement, worry, any of that. It's simply time to go to the cross. It's time to go across the street. It's time to go and to help the people or the school or the people around us, the kids in those schools that can't afford or don't have the food. It's time for the church to be the church. Enough. It is time. So Lord, right now we come before you. God, we ask you, Jesus, to move. We ask you to pour your spirit out. Lord, I pray that a spirit of fear would be broken, that there's that concern or that there's that level, Lord, that we would use wisdom, we would lock into you, but fear, worry, anxiety, any of those things that are synonymous with that would be gone. And instead, we would bring your peace, your hope, Lord, in our lives and then to our world. Lord Jesus, when you hit an enough moment, you walk directly towards the cross. And Lord, in our enough moment, we're going to walk directly to our world. We're going to share you. We're going to proclaim you. We're going to lift you up. Well, every person has your head down and your eyes closed. If there's anybody today that you say, I'm not walking in relationship with Jesus, there's no better day than right now to say, that's me, and to say, I want to know him. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to turn away, do a 180 from your sin and your old life and say, I want to plug into Jesus and who he is. I want to repent. I want to be made whole and new. And you want to give up lordship. You want to offer that to Jesus. Let him be the Lord of your life. Right now, if you're at home, you can even comment if you would be so bold. You can raise your hand at home. If you're in this room and you say, that's me. For the first time, I want to give my life to Jesus. Will you just raise your hand in this room? Because there's nothing more important. Nothing more important than this decision. Anybody in the room today? Awesome. Thank you so much. At home, we're going to pray. If you raised your hand, all you have to do is pray a prayer in your heart. You can repeat after me. And we're going to experience God together. Then we're going to worship. We're going to pray. We're going to minister to our Lord today as he ministers to us. So right now, if we could, at home, here, would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I love you. And I repent of my sin. I ask you to make me new. to make me whole, to help me leave the sin of my past and come into wholeness in you. Today I make you Lord. I make you King of my life. Help me to live for you, to serve you, and to walk in you in all I do. In your name, Jesus, we pray, amen. Come on, church, let's take the next 10 minutes. Let's worship, let's lift up the name of God. Let's do it together. As we minister to God, I believe He will minister to you. And I encourage you, if you're at home, it might be weird. I encourage you to stand to your feet if you already aren't, to lift your hands maybe, to kneel, whatever. Same thing you would do at church on a Sunday morning, but today maybe even a new posture as God takes us to the next thing. So Pastor Matt, would you guys lead us? Thank you, team, so much for being just consistent. Let's worship. Let's minister to the Lord today. Jesus, we're so thankful, God, that you are our God, that you're a good God. And right in this moment that we can trust you, we can lock into you and what you're doing and what you're saying. And Lord, I pray that we, each one of us, would commit to community, God, to one another. We'd commit to prayer for our world, for our missionaries, for our partners all over the world, God, that we support. But we commit just to being true to who you have called us to be. And that means, God, that just like Jesus, you on the cross the day before, we run to the people that are hurting. We run to those that are in sin. We run to those that are maybe sick, those that are in need, those that need us right now. Lord, as individuals, as well as a corporate body, God, we run to the people that are in need today. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that we would make our biggest imprint in this moment, in this time. We're so thankful, Lord, for how awesome you are. Lord, I thank you for this amazing church. I thank you for just a group of people that we can worship. We can be together in building, and we can be together from outside of a building, Lord, and we can experience you in special and powerful and real ways. And God, that's our hope, our prayer, and all things. Lord, we want to know you more every single day. Let us know you more. So God, bless this next few weeks, a little different. Lord, bless them and keep us safe, and let us make an impact in our world. It's enough. If I've been on the sideline, enough. I will not be on the sideline, Jesus. Lord, that's our prayer today. We worship you, we thank you, and we lift you up. You're so good. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Before we take off, just reiterating, we're going to be fully online for the next few weeks, whatever that looks like, starting tomorrow. So youth group, there is youth group. If you feel comfortable, they'll be here. Pastor Christian has a word. They're going to have a good time. And then we're going to be online. Keep looking, radiant.family, for updates. Right on the very front page. And something that we just added that you'll want to check out, radiant.family, under our community partners and our missions, our missionaries, is as we're praying, you can be praying for our missionaries and ministry partners all over the world, as we added a tab on there that has all of that on there now. So you can see it. Of course, you can give and do whatever you always could do, but we've added a few new things, our update page and that. So please stay connected. Let us know if you need anything. And if there's any way we can be a blessing in the community, we would love to do our best as a church family to do it. So thank you so much. Thank you for being here. As we go, remember, high fives from afar, peace signs, air fives, air hugs, whatever you want to do. But let's be safe. God bless you. Thank you so much. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus.